And I got three kids. Three motherfucking kids. And they're always making me watch those goddamn movies where there's a goddamn lesson. I'm so tired of it. I don't want to learn something. So do you have anything where, like, the viewer or maybe the characters, I don't know, where they learn the wrong lesson or something? Help me out here.
You like that? How I didn't record over the intro this time?
Oh.
Linda's can learn. Welcome back to Videorama, where we take your request for a topic and give you our recommendations. We received a message from a woman who she's a mother at her wit's end, and she's tired of those goddamn movies with the morals in them. So she wants recommendations for movies where the viewer or the main characters learn the wrong lesson. My name is Linda, but you can, as always, call me the Cheese, or you can call me the Cheese.
That's true.
I'm Adrian, or you can call me the Cracker.
Yeah. And I'm Donnie, and you can just call me your local dealer.
Are we not getting back to that, like, where Adrian wants to be known as the Cracker? We're just going to let that go?
Crack-ass Cracker.
Okay, fair enough. So today we are covering my recommendation. I was a bit inspired by, well, not a bit, I was totally inspired by Donnie's Halloween costume.
You mean Mr. Hyde, who came and visited us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Mr. Hyde, who came to visit us. I wanted to discuss a movie that one could say formed my and my brother's personalities.
Our collective childhood.
One might also say that it's what screwed us up. Really, tomato, tomato.
They are, of course, referring to the Aristocats.
Obviously. I mean, Disney did fuck up a couple people, I'm going to say. It did fuck us all up to an extent. But no, today I'm talking about a beloved movie of mine and Donnie's. We're talking about Jekyll and Hyde Together Again.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. So excited about this. So, how to explain it? Well, I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, where Dr. Jekyll creates this serum or something that turns him into the primal, crazy, dangerous Hyde, Mr. Hyde. Well, in this one, Dr. Daniel Jekyll is a very promising doctor who is at the top of his career. Everybody reveres him because he's this amazing surgeon. But he wants to give up surgery to research drugs.
Well, the man's human behavior.
Yes. He wants to find a way that people can be healed, not through surgery, but instead by a drug that would tap into their most primal. Basic human need to not
it
die.
It would make them heal themselves.
Yes, exactly.
Physician, heal thyself.
So he's keeping long hours. And I should also say there's a Howard Hughes type of character. So totally not Howard Hughes.
Balls!
Who's really old and decrepit, and he wants to have just like a total transplant of all organs.
Total transplant.
Yeah.
The world's first total transplant.
Exactly. And he wants Dr. Danielle Jekyll to perform the surgery. But then they find out that, he just announced he's not doing surgery anymore. And
which really bums me out, man, because he's so bitching.
Like, for sure. He's so far out. So he is engaged to the daughter of the, the chief surgeon?
Head hospital type man.
Yeah, head hospital type dude. and he's basically telling Dr. Jekyll that he can't marry his daughter, Mary, unless he agrees to do the surgery. And meanwhile, he's just working really long hours, just working as a surgeon, but then after work hours, like, because he's always so concerned with his patients and getting them healed, but then
and not getting laid
and not even like seeming to be interested in getting laid with his fiance. But we'll get to that. So after hours, he's working on his research for the drug. And he falls asleep on the counter while he's got a bunch of food, a straw for his drink for his supper, and the drugs that he's studying out on the corner or the counter. And
there's
starts,
just a little bitty accident.
He while snoring, he inhales the straw in his nose and exhales the end of the paper covering on the straw, and accidentally snorts some cocaine. Like, whatever drug he's...
If you're listening to this during Nose Draw, remember, too damn bad.
Yes, it is not so much questionable as it is high-grade, pure Peruvian flake cocaine.
It is sparkly cocaine.
It's literally sparkly. It's Twilight cocaine. But good. And shortly after he does that, he becomes Mr. Hyde, and Mr. Hyde is an awesome late 70s, early 80s caricature of a cool, coked out guy.
Yeah, he's a disco hard-on. You know, rings pop out of his fingers, earrings pop out of his ears. He all of a sudden has a gold tooth that says love on it.
Yeah!
And a gold chain with a gold razor blade.
Yes.
Yeah. He's got a goatee, and his hair changes. Yeah,
and his
he's
got a
really
mustache.
Sweet Jerry Dvorak music starts. You
know. And he has like a mustache that's very reminiscent of Wario.
Yeah. Oh, the truth comes out.
Now we know what inspired Wario.
Well, we also know what inspired us on our many vacations with our parents. To go like sitting like a gargoyle on guardrails going
babe.
And then you'd go and you'd snort horseradish with your coke nail.
Yes. Often.
That's right. He grows a coke nail.
Sushi.
And a permanent hard on. But before he turns to, while he's still Dr. Jekyll, before he discovers Mr. Hyde, he has to help a patient in in one of the scenes where they definitely could not do today.
Where she had a
you're talking about how it's 1982 and anti-Asian racism was the funniest. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say it was anti-Asian, but...
Well, it was what was in the air back then, though. Like,
yeah,
the Japanese
and it
tourist
definitely
stereotype,
wasn't, like,
you know.
Yeah, it can't be done today.
They wouldn't do it now.
Goddamn offensive,
the lady had a foreign object lodged in her V...
And the foreign object was all like konnichiwa.
I-N-A...
Yeah.
Oh.
Horvajin.
So he meets Ivy, who has the foreign object stuck in her vagina, which turns out to be a Japanese man.
Visual gags.
Yeah, this is the Zucker Abrams Zucker era of comedy here. So,
and I really like the visual gag part. I really like, but then it does get offensive where he's like, suck my dick.
Well, that's after they remove it by getting a bucket of cold ice water to pour between them.
Yeah. And but he meets Ivy, the one with the foreign object stuck in her
now
vagina.
Dislodged.
And she tells him that he's pretty cute for a doctor, and it's weird because he's not interested in Mary, his fiance, very sexually, but Ivy comes along and he's just like, and like doing the trope of like, I can't remember how to pronounce my name. I don't know how to talk. And
woman.
Yeah, pretty much. And she puts her pantyhose on his head, which I love. But when he turns to Mr. Hyde, Mr. Hyde wants to find Ivy, and she becomes his conquest. And he spends a night with her as Mr. Hyde. And he first he sees her act, and then
Ivy and the shitty rainbow.
Yes, Ivy and the shitty rainbows. Which I've wanted that her like outfit. And like for the longest time, she's got this like this dress or jumpsuit that lights up and like at certain places and a wig that has lights in it. And anyway, so it's at Madame Woo Woo's. And
woo-woo!
the employees keep saying, hi, 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 hi. And he says, hi, and orders the chicken sushi.
Is this seat taken?
Yeah. And he,
before that, I'm sorry, it's just worth mentioning.
Oh, no,
when he steals a woman's car and he's tripping the fuck out while he's driving through a tunnel.
Yeah, everything has trails.
It's Technicolor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then blocks a bus of people just to get into the bar.
And steal some guy's sports coat.
Yeah.
He looks pretty bitchin'.
He was.
Ivy says, like, there's only one thing on your mind. You guys just want sex. Sex, sex, sex. And it's like, that's like all I think about is bed.
And the bed's the only thing in her room.
Only thing. Just the bed. Yeah. And anyway, so he introduces himself as Hyde. No last name because his parents lacked imagination.
Yeah.
And
she asks him if he wants to do it standing, sitting, leaning, back
always, back ways, side to side.
Yes. I want it always.
And so all that's in her room is basically just the bed, the bed linens, and her little bear that
Eddie
pretty much humps her leg.
But he's like super excited to see Teddy. He's like really happy when he waves to him. Yeah.
I knew it wouldn't be. It's like my Pookie.
This is true.
So they have doings, and they do the freak nasty and the freaky sneaky, if you will. And he wakes up and her room is just full of stuff. And he wakes up with two pairs of feet to either side.
That's my feet, Jack.
Yeah. there is a black man in there, like one could suppose by his voice. And on the other side is Ivy. Or is that the second time?
I think it's the second time, but that's okay. It's the same spirit.
Either way, he
wakes up. The first time is the goat's there, or the sheep is there, rather.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, how far in a man's depravity did I fall?
Like, is that far?
Obviously, we love it. And her room is now full of stuff. Like, blow up.
And bills.
And
you
bills.
You can't just do a straight fucking. You need devices and tinsel.
I mean, obviously. And anyway, so they must have been getting down, doing a thorough job of it. And he feels terrible because, you know, he wakes up as Dr. Jekyll. And he feels bad. So he goes to his fiance, Mary.
Who was running an equestrian course at a snooty country club and jumping over hurdles and shits. And
she's riding a horse named A Gift from Daddy.
A gift from Daddy. There's some ASMR for you guys.
He just feels rotten, so he's got to keep up with her. And so he makes it through the whole course. He's running through hedges and jumping over hurdles and...
And he wins.
Yeah.
And he wins. Yeah, he wins. Yeah. And fuck that horse. It's all about Jekyll.
Probably
what? Oh!
But yeah, so kind of skipping ahead, he feels just so terrible. So he sneaks into her room.
Yes.
And because he just wants to make things better with her, and they make love.
No, they don't.
Well,
it's like they start undressing. He's like, "I want you, Mary." It's like, "Oh yes." And they take off her socks, and he takes off
his pants.
You can
tell, like, she wants it bad. Like, she needs some doings.
But then, like, the lights go out, and then they come back because he's lighting up a cigarette. He's like, "That was so romantic." Like,
that was so beautiful. Yeah. She's like, she says,
"You left something out,
Daniel. Yeah. Don't you think you left something out?" And he goes,
Yeah. My favorite
That's
fucking part
Jekyll.
Is her dad comes in the room with his shotgun. He's like, "I thought I heard the sounds of my daughter being defiled down here."
Ravaged.
No, you didn't, Daddy.
Or no, you're right. Defiled. You're right.
Yes. He's like, "I'm going to blow your head off." He's like, "But I've decided to do the surgery." He's like, "You have?" Like, fuck your brains out.
Yeah. Fuck your brains out, kids. Defile away.
He doesn't care anymore.
No.
And then it just kind of becomes a struggle. And you get to see him.
He's totally going to throw that cocaine away.
He was. He really was.
And he's pursuing Ivy. And but his problem is getting worse. Where to go from there?
Well, he decides he needs to find out whose face is on a $1 bill.
And also, because for science,
he had to officially weigh all the cocaine he was going to throw away because that's scientific work.
He's being a two-year-old baby.
Yes, which for those wondering, the scientific weight was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he does drugs again, and he becomes even more of a crazy-looking man. And this is where he goes to another place our parents hated going with us after, which was the grocery store, where he starts looking for the love of his life. And when he finds her, he strikes a Cupid's pose.
And he tries to ball Ivy on top of some produce. She says, "Hey, what do you think this is, a Kmart?"
Yeah. Let's make love on our bountiful fruit.
Yeah, so he's like basically as Hyde, he's a drugged out sex maniac. And
but he's a regular customer at Safeway when they go to pay for her groceries.
Yes.
And there's a delightful little sight gag once they get outside. It's somebody who looks like Hyde is pushing an empty shopping cart. Then they turn to the side, and the shopping cart is wafer thin, and he's only Hyde on the one side.
Yes, because he was smushed by cars when Hyde entered the grocery store and threw him out of his way.
But, yeah, and so, anyway, you have Hyde, the coked up sex fiend, and then you have Dr. Jekyll, who's basically very prudish.
He's true blue.
And pretty much just, like, married to his work. And,
he's helping out in the charity wing of the hospital, which is basically Victorian England.
Yes.
It's all the cobwebs and candles.
Blue cross, man.
The smell of death.
Yeah. Mary comes to visit him there, and you can tell it's just like, it's so like the, you've got the hospital, and which is the Our Lady of Pain and Suffering.
Yeah. And, yeah, which is very modern for 1982.
And then they open the door for the charity ward, and
yeah,
just like this dark, decrepit,
it's these sad candlelit metal beds and wood paneled walls, and everything's covered in cobwebs and soot.
And Mary comes to visit, and one of the nurses, the old nurses, says something like, "Go, hello, Miss Mary," and she goes, "Oh, hello, crone."
It's one of the great early sight gags in the movie, because it's after Jekyll is talking to her dad and he's telling him how he's given up surgery. And he's like, "You don't think I would use my daughter to stop the marriage to get you to perform a surgery?" He's like, "No, I don't think you would." So her father starts laughing maniacally to the point that even after Jekyll leaves, you still hear him in the hallway on the floor laughing. And when Mary comes to visit him, he's still on the floor fucking laughing.
Yep.
Yeah. And and I should say another sight gag in there is that his nurse who assists him in all of his surgeries is this big busty nurse
who wears lipstick on her mask.
On the outside of the mask.
And sometimes blush on the outside of her mask. Yeah.
And she's the one who's like, "Oh, Dr. Jekyll, you're so bitchin'."
And as it turns out, that's none other than one Miss Goddess Cassandra Peters. Elvira herself.
No fuck.
Yeah. But she can't, it's hard as hell because she has the mask on all the time.
Yeah, and you can't tell that's her breast because she has sparkly nipples when he exposes them accidentally during his surgery.
You see Elvira's titties.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you're forgetting who else's wonderful bust we get to see in this movie is Jack Death.
Yes.
Eh?
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Tim
Dr.
Thomerson.
Dr. Tim Thomerson.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Doug Masters.
Did I forget to mention Tim Thomerson's in it?
Yeah, we got fucking Tim Thomerson as the plastic surgeon.
Anyone up for a nooner? What's a nooner?
Which, of course, this was the 80s again. This film can never be made today.
Because today sucks.
It's just today really sucks. And it's we're in a cancel culture, kids. Anyway, we find out that Tim Thomerson's character, Dr. Newt, is like Daniel's best friend and colleague. He's the plastic surgeon, and he likes to wear women's lingerie underneath his smock.
We find this out. He's doing this breast enlargement, which goes too far.
Well, he's doing the most amazing breast enlargement where this woman's breasts turn into large balloons.
Oh, no. My husband's going to love these.
Oh, Harry's going to love these.
Come on, kids.
But we learn this because Jekyll approaches him and tries to explain to him what's been happening, that he becomes a monster that there's just no escape from,
and he has
no control.
He asks
him for help, and he tells him, "You think that's bad?" And then he just throws open a robe he's wearing to reveal women's lingerie.
And I gotta say, Tim Thomerson is surprisingly hot in women's lingerie.
He has a lot of surprising moments in this film much later on.
It's true.
Like when they go to England.
Yeah, we're getting to that point.
So, yeah, as it turns out, Mary sent in Dr. Jekyll's, Daniel, her fiance's, research into the Putz Puller prize group. And they are giving him a Putz Puller prize. And so it's put on in jolly old England, and he flies over as Mr. Hyde.
On the top of the plane.
There's more. He tries taking the money he was given by the Putz Puller Prize Society and showing it off to Ivy because he wanted to celebrate with her and go on a fuck spree, but she doesn't want to because she likes Dr. Daniel Jekyll. And she doesn't really want to keep banging him because her vagina needs a vacation.
Oh, he only won some of the money, like, so far. The rest was going to be presented to him at the Putz Puller Award.
So he goes to an arcade to find her, which is awesome because arcades were popular back in this time. And adults did go to these things.
Remember arcades, kids?
Remember these? He decides to show his identity to her by telling her who he really is. And she can't believe it until he pulls out a classy pair of pantyhose and puts them on his head. And she still can't believe it.
She's going to blow his rotten guts out.
Sadly, he tries to kill her while playing a racing game, humping the machine that starts spitting out chickens and hubcaps from the fucking game.
And if you listen to the game, the voices in the game that are coming out, it's like, my chickens! Get off the road!
Very advanced video game for 1982.
It was.
So, while Mr. Hyde flies to England on the top of the plane, Ivy takes the train to England.
Yes.
All the way over the ocean.
All the way over the ocean. They just go real fast.
You know? Yes, exactly. You hardly notice.
Yeah, so she's pursuing him because she wants she wants to kill him. She's got her bear there.
And a pistol.
Yeah. Nobody makes a fool out of Ivy Venus.
You can't go in there, lady. It's formal.
So she tries to get into the award ceremony and Mr. Hyde shows up and accepts the award for his good friend, Dr. Jack Wall. Yeah.
He couldn't make it because he took a trip up his nose.
Yeah. Maybe you can see him. And he has this amazing song, which I think we're going to have to play at the end.
Because it's nothing to hide. I want to show it to you.
Got to show it to you. It's just fucking amazing. And
the audience is stuffy. They certainly don't want it shown to them. And let us not forget that the queen
one audience
is there.
Member.
Two, actually. Because Mary is there, his fiance.
Well, that's what she is right, into
with Hyde. With Dr. Tim Thomerson.
Yes, and Dr. Tim Thomerson is a lot more into him.
And by the way, Mary is played by Bess Armstrong, who you probably know as the mother from My So-Called Life or as Catherine Morgan in Jaws 3D.
Huh? Oh, God.
Right. that was also 1982. She was having a fucking banner year. Shit.
Oh, yeah.
High comedy all the way across. Fuck.
Mr. Hyde rips his pants off, throws them into the crowd, and Tim Thomerson catches them and bites into them hard.
And again, the event is presided over by the queen.
Yes, the literal queen.
Which is, it's a gay guy, yeah.
Yeah.
But I had Carlo watch this with me the night of my birthday. And
On my birthday.
Oh, my
took my shoes
on
off in the restaurant.
Of my birth celebration.
And he really actually enjoyed it, surprisingly. He loved it. And
as he should.
I said, so what did you learn? And he's like, not to take Coke in the 80s. And I was like, no, what did you learn about me? And he was like, oh, I learned why you are the way you are today.
Jekyll and Hyde together again is basically the Linda cool test. So if you watch this movie and you weren't into it, you know you can't hang out with Linda.
The movie made us.
You're not cool enough.
And I love that the movie suddenly decides to stop being what it is and go into being a black and white 1950s monster
black
movie.
And white. Yeah.
Yes, well, they begin chasing him as a mad mob through the now
over Victorian England rooftops,
ye old London.
Yeah, there's fog and there's gaslight all of a sudden, and they're pulling out all the stops because they're acknowledging the fact that they are doing the most over-adapted story in the history of ever.
Yes,
Robert Louis Stevenson wrote a lot of shit, but
gets shot in the ass, and then the film goes back to being in color, back to being in the glorious time it was made.
But everybody is chasing him. Because they want to they want to take him down, except for Mary and Tim Thomerson's character, because they want to take him down.
Well, and Ivy, because as we learn at the end, he can turn back into himself. And he talks about how he hated it because he was this rough, sex-starved, crazed animal human being. And Mary loves him. But then he also wants to be the kind, caring, considerate doctor, or Jekyll. And
he's
Ivy wants to be with
sex.
Him.
Yes. And so they share him.
Yes, the women decide they will share him in the evening and they'll have him together at different times during the day. And then we get the wondrous, most beautiful scene that should be in any remake made today in Hollywood. We see the grave of the
Robert
author
Louis Stevenson
rolling in his fucking grave.
It's like, you bastards, my story, bastards.
ruined.
Yeah.
And so
now,
Ivy
technically
says,
that skeleton should have had a Scottish accent, but still.
Yeah. Well, Ivy and Mary are just kind of like arguing over him, like, he's my man, you know, he's my man. And they said, wait, I think we could work this out. And Ivy
I'll
says,
I'll take care of him in the mornings, and I'll take care of him in the afternoons, and we'll share him in the evening.
And he's just dazed as they drag him off.
You don't need to reconcile your fucked up split personalities, and you don't need to choose a woman. Just do it all.
Just
always.
Do it all.
And if we're going to offend everyone, what happens with Mr. Tim Thomerson and the Queen?
Oh, he hooks up with the Queen, Your Majesty. He's going to show him his royal scepter.
Yes, like, would you like to come back to the palace and see my royal scepter? Like,
Your Majesty.
Oh.
If you wear ladies' undergarments, you're also gay. That's how it works.
No, the 80s.
1982. Yeah.
And they also use the F word, not fuck.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
The shorter F word.
That's a perfectly good American word.
F-A-T.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty hot and tempting.
The most offensive word.
Well, there's a lot of even jokes we didn't even cover. There's also their adopted daughter, the Japanese adopted daughter who writes them, and they can't understand a thing she's saying, but it's all about how Japan
the American
is going to take
dogs.
Over and destroy the U.S., but she thanks them for the comb he sent her.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we will drive you capitalist dogs into the street and mark the streets with your blood. Thanks for the comb.
Well, there's a few instances in there where they're like, oh, which kind of Asian is this? Ah, they're all the same. Vietnam, Japan, it's all the same place.
I mean, it is unfortunate that, like, there are a lot of, like, offensive stuff, especially for Asian people for some reason.
Not if you're super easygoing.
The less offensive is you also have the continuing joke that he's constantly readjusting his pants. Like, he's constantly tucking his pants back in.
Why does Jekyll always have his hand down his pants?
And you also have the people from the ambulance going into the hospital. They're all eating handfuls of pills. Like, oh, you gotta try this one. Oh, this is really good.
Yeah, just Bennies. Just do a fuckload of Bennies.
Yes, and not Howard Hughes character talking about how he's going to burn the hospital down with her dad inside it.
With him inside. Yeah.
Put him in a pit. Bury him in a pit.
Yeah, and so
pit in front of your whole family.
At the big moment, Jekyll's going to do the surgery, but he changes into Hyde, and he figures out he can change into Hyde without the drugs. And he throws all the organs on the floor, and they get trampled with the liver and the onions and all that stuff. And so Mary's dad there is like, well, there's only one thing to do. So he opens up his outfit and he asks the other doctor to take out his fucking organs and put them in the old man.
You know what to do.
It made me look so fucking crazy because nobody knew what the fuck I was talking about at Nextel. But when we had parties, because we did good, they would always go to fucking Safeway to get like cheese platters and salami and cuts of meat like that. So I would just grab the plate and go cold cuts. I'm sorry.
I was doing that when I was the president of my club's or my chapter's Toastmasters, and we had to I had to pick out some food for like a big open house membership drive we were doing, and so I was going through Safeway's like catering stuff. I was like, cold cuts. But
Amy and I can tell you something about why a lot of people don't get the references in this.
Yeah, because again, it's one of those, there's just so many jokes in all different corners. Even when the Japanese cooks are playing poker and they ask them to cut the cards and they pull out a cleaver and actually cut the cards. And they even go with it, like pieces of deuces and aces are wild.
There's a lot of like visual gags and... it's funny because Carlo was asking, like, why is he always picking up his pants? And that was right before the doctor was saying, like, hey, Dr. Jekyll, why has he always got his hand on his pants?
And his hands are so steady, and yet he cuts himself shaving.
Oh, God, you forgot another fun offensive part. When he's going down the halls as Jekyll, and he's just, like, growling, and a priest shows him a crucifix. And he gets scared, and then a rabbi shows him a star.
That's kind of like in Fearless Vampire Killers, where the lady's holding up the cross when the vampire's coming at her, but he's a Jewish vampire, so it's like, lady, you got the wrong vampire.
Well, that was one of my favorite things, and I don't know why, but it just makes me laugh hysterically every time. It's one of those like small, underappreciated parts where toward the beginning when Mary's dad is explaining to Dr. Jekyll how like about the surgery, and there's a nun in the elevator, and she's just been pretty stoic, just sitting there like not reacting to anything. And then the doors open, and on his way out, he kisses her very passionately and says, I'll meet you later. And she just kind of looks like, oh.
The runner stumbles.
And of course, another Linda favorite, because we reenacted many of these scenes from the movie in our real life, was after one of the organ donors, who decides for the cost of, I think it was $1 million, gives up both his testicles.
For so that dangling beauties.
Watch it,
we
buddy.
See the man hunched over out of surgery, like, you're a very brave man. And Jekyll comes along skipping down the halls and fucking drives his knee right in the guy's front.
Watch it, buddy.
And just the look of pure joy Jekyll
That guy, too, you'll never know his name, but he's like the heavy in so many 70s TV shows and movies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Like real man's man guy, you know.
That's why he got cast in them parts.
Yeah, they took his parts. Balls! Balls! I need balls!
Even that whole thing was just weird as fuck. Having a voice box that was just two pairs of lips. And that's what they fed the gas to put him under.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
So you get Cassandra Peterson as the motherfucking Elvira, as the nurse. You get Bess Armstrong as Mary. And then you get Krista Erickson as Ivy Venus, who wasn't in, really in a lot of stuff where you'd recognize her, but she played Cinder in Little Darlings and Maggie in Beverly Hills 90210, if you ever watched that. Mark Blankfield, who played both Jekyll and Hyde, played Blinken in Robin Hood Men in Tights. And he also was in another Mel Brooks film. He played Martin in Dracula Dead and Loving It. And he was a cast member in Fridays. He played Rob in The Incredible Shrinking Woman. And I didn't really watch it much, but maybe you did if you're from our generation. But James in Saved by the Bell and Saved by the Bell, The New Class. But also you have Tim Thomerson as Dr. Newt Lanyon. You probably know him from being motherfucking Tim Thomerson.
Like, he was Jack Death. He's back and he's never been here before. He was the dad in Near Dark, which we covered. You should have listened to that already. And he was also the dad in fucking Iron Eagle. Never say die, Iron Eagle.
He also was the leader of a group out in the desert in Cherry 5000.
From the director of Miracle Mile, which you should also have seen already.
But the writer-director was Jerry Belson, who wrote multiple episodes of The Lucy Show, not I Love Lucy, but The Lucy Show. And
it was that later one in color.
The Odd Couple and Smokey and the Bandit 2.
He got around.
Which is not good.
No, it's not great. No, it has Sally Field and Dom DeLuise in it.
It has Dom DeLuise.
That's all you need. Yeah, it's true.
He also directed a couple episodes of the Mary Tyler Moore Show and an episode of one of its many spinoffs, Rhoda. If you have Hulu, I would highly suggest watching the Mary Tyler Moore Show. It's kind of fucking amazing. But he also directed a couple episodes of The Odd Couple, and he was the writer and the director. And the one of the writers was Monica McGowan Johnson, who got her start as a writer in an episode of The Paul Lynde Show in 1973. Fucking Paul Lynde, man.
Affair is a fair double smorgasbord, orgasbord, orgasbord.
Yes, everybody's favorite rat, Templeton. After that, she wrote for three episodes of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. She was a writer for Americathon, which I have on my list to watch because it has a lot of amazing people in it and it sounds kind of amazing. But it's all about like... it's kind of like Idiocracy before Idiocracy, and they're holding a telethon to save America. And it has John Ritter in it. And I mean, it has a lot of people in it. Yeah. But anyway, also another writer, Harvey Miller, wrote an episode of the Bob Newhart Show in 1973. Also an amazing fucking show, available on Hulu. And he also wrote Private Benjamin, movie, and an episode of the short-lived TV show, which I didn't even know was a thing, but apparently.
There was a time there where nearly every movie that made any money, they tried to make a show out of it. They tried to make a Ferris Bueller show. You know.
Yeah, and same like they did with cartoons versus some movies that
sometimes it was just a cartoon, Like, they made a Bill and Ted show.
They did a live-action television series of Blazing Saddles, but it was never aired, and it was only just so they could retain the rights. Yeah.
Much like Roger Corbin's Fantastic Four, which ironically is the best Fantastic Four.
Well, of course, WB wanted to make sequels to Blazing Saddles, and Mel Brooks was like, fuck no. By the way, there's talk of History of the World Part 2. So.
Yeah, but there's also talk of them redoing the Blazing Saddles movie, too. So,
He says the sheriff is near.
God. And with that, Harvey Miller also wrote Cannonball Run 2. So you have the writers are
of all the Hal Needham sequels. Now get these guys together, and we need Megaforce 2. It's long overdue.
And a sequel to Rad. Smokey and the Bandit 2 and Cannonball Run 2.
Hooper 2, Stroker Ace 2, The Villain 2.
Then finally, there was another writer, Michael Leeson, who wrote multiple episodes of Happy Days, The Odd Couple, and The Mary Tyler Moore Show, as well as all of its spinoffs, well, both of its spinoffs, including Rhoda and Phyllis.
Did you read about a little bit of the history of the screenplay of this here?
No, I did not.
So this is a Paramount picture. This is actually from a major studio. And at this point in time, the president of Paramount Pictures, we mentioned Disney earlier, was Michael Eisner.
Oh boy.
Michael Eisner actually was one of the people who championed this script. He really wanted to get it made.
That's surprising.
Which is actually a hilarious irony, because just a few years before this, he had actually tried to kill Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke.
That sounds about right.
He's like, oh, we can't have any of that dirty weed, but cocaine, that's a nice clean society drug. Eisner's kind of a motherfucker.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, in so many ways. So he's like one of those people who prides himself on like being an advocate for gay people, and yet when they were making Bruce Beresford's King David movie with Richard Gere, Eisner's like, oh, you can't let him go in that costume, that historically accurate costume. The audiences are going to find it all faggoty. This movie's going to bomb on account of that faggoty costume.
Oh.
Yeah. And check this out. Yeah, and 20 years later, they're doing the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And Eisner's like, why is Jack Sparrow acting that way? He's acting all faggoty. This is going to bomb just like that King David movie did. Oh god, it's all going to go to hell.
God damn it.
He's an asshole.
Speaking of, do we want to know anything about something from Amy?
Yeah, I want to hear about Amy. Amy? Amy, what happened? What did you do? Amy, this is serious. Damn it! Where is it, Amy? Where is my money? I know, right? Yeah, yeah, well, this movie didn't really show the money, sadly. This is why nobody knew what Donnie was saying when he said cold cuts, because this one, like there was all kinds of stuff like that wanted to be Airplane around then. You know, there was like Ricky One, and there was this, but this was budgeted at $5 million, and it came out on October 1st, 1982, and the box office was only $3,792,188. And that's all over the world. This actually opened at number 8, which is sad because it was actually the only movie in its first week that weekend. Number 1 was E.T. in its 17th week. Stop fucking watching E.T. already, you bitches. Number 2 was An Officer and the Gentleman in its 10th week. Number 3 was Amityville 2, The Possession, which is a huge piece of shit. and that was in its second week. Then Fast Times at Ridgemont High in its 8th week. Okay, actually a good movie. Then Pink Floyd, The Wall. Like, fuck you. Then Paul Mazursky's Tempest with John Cassavetes, which is a movie that's buried by history but has an early appearance by Molly Ringwald and Raul Julia.
Oh, damn.
Number 7 was The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Shit, yeah.
And it's 11th week.
I was just thinking about that today. I was thinking, like, you know what really burns my ass? 2-foot candle. You know what else does?
I own that movie on CED.
Oh, God. I was, like, this close to being able to play her part on stage.
Oh. Makes me sad. After that, we get Rocky 3 in its 15th week. And The World According to the Garp. Yes, Giorgio, which is a relic with Pavarotti. Pavarotti tried to do a movie called Yes, Giorgio.
Wow.
He is a tenor who loses his voice, and it's supposed to be romantic and funny.
Oh, boy.
Then Night Shift. Remember Night Shift?
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
And number 13 was a reissue of Star Wars A New Hope, which was, you know, making money all over again.
Wow.
And that's the 1982 box office right there in October.
My stars.
So, you know.
I'd also like to mention that the nurse who delivers the telegram saying that he's been selected for the Putz Puller Prize.
The Putz Puller, yeah.
Was Lynn Shay from all those Insidious movies.
Yep. She was a very good character actress. And today
she really is.
I have a permanent hard on. Now what can you give me?
One of the Nightmare on Elm Street films, too, as a teacher, I believe.
But, oh, yeah,
were
she
it
was.
Not that I have yeah. bad.
But she also had the best part, too, which we didn't talk about, was Jekyll is having issues. She's like, what's wrong? He's like, I have an erection that never goes away, no matter how many times I do it. What can you give me? And she reaches in her purse. She's like, I
can give you $60 and my wedding ring.
And my wedding ring. Yeah,
like bus fare.
And she keeps like offering more and more stuff.
Yeah, she wants
please,
to be
just take me. I'm trash.
Yes. It's amazing.
The movie
but
is
also,
a blessing.
In one of those iffy moments, like the is this racist moments?
Take the kids out of the room, guys.
Mary and her dad, they live in a, I guess a manor that has
a mansion.
Two lawn jockeys.
And played by actual. Go ahead. Sad.
Black midgets or black little people.
Wow.
And one of them is Tony Cox, who you might know as Dink from Spaceballs or as Marcus from Bad Santa.
Yes, he's been in
holy
many
shit.
Movies.
That's okay. Yeah. It was an adult joke for us adults.
Adults.
Yeah.
But
movie is for adults.
Luckily, I don't think a lot of people would get the joke there today because luckily not many people have lawn jockeys anymore.
There still are a few. They're just not as offensive. So
if you're hovering around 40 like us, you should watch this movie.
Yes. And another scene that me and Linda recreated many times in our parents' van as a kid because it had a sunroof was when he steals a car from a woman who uses mace on his face, and then he uses it for a breath freshener.
Yeah,
he shoves her head through the sunroof as she's screaming. And
like, oh, I gotta pull over,
their
it's
way because they think it's an ambulance.
Yeah, she just goes by them, and she's her head sticking out because he closed the automatic thing on, like trapping her head in there. Just either way, it's a fucking treasure. You can buy or rent it. May as well buy it on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel kind of conflicted about giving Amazon money, but
that's your personal agenda.
That guy had to get to space somehow.
Yeah, he's got penis ships now.
Rocket ships were always penises. It's fine.
But I can tell you, there are not people that enjoyed this movie as much as we did.
What? Donnie, say it ain't so.
Oh, people were not kind to this, but there actually weren't that many people that didn't like it, so that's a good thing.
All right.
Okay, so kind of stupid. Very disappointed, as I felt the concept had a lot of potential. Good idea, just poorly conceived and written. When I watched this movie, I knew it was going to be a comedy spinoff of the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of sorts.
Spinoff?
But come on. Jekyll as a junkie. Really? Anyway, There were some funny parts, but the rest of the movie seesawed between good enough movie to bad 60s drug snort fest. I don't recommend getting this movie. One person found that helpful. One person. I don't like this at all. It only got one star because I can't leave none. Actors and script, awful. To me, an absolute waste of shelf space. I know it's a skit and not to be taken seriously, but even so, it was terrible. I admit, I only bought it because George Chakiris was in it, but he was there for all of 10 seconds, so it was hardly worth it.
He's the special host for the celebrity host. He's
playing himself. Yeah.
Yes. Like, sorry, not be positive. He literally says this. It's another translation. Sorry, not be positive, but I can't of anything good to say.
Wow.
We will say that again so you know you're not having a stroke. Sorry not to be positive, but I can't of anything good to say. Maybe it would work as a coaster.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, hold that, Jesus, because you're going to need some religion here soon. We got a dissertation written by another profound reviewer of our generation.
We got a really important person here, guys.
Is it a dishwasher clown?
You never know.
Oh, go for it.
A long time ago, way back in the early 80s, a late-night TV show, Fridays, came to ABC, trying to steal the limelight away from NBC's badly listing Saturday Night Live. It didn't do, but it did introduce some repugnant sketches and semi-talented comedians to the world, like Mark Blankenfield, for example, which, in a roundabout way, brings us to Jekyll and Hyde, together again.
Fridays also which had is Michael Richardson.
Repugnant in ways all its own. Blankenfield is about as subtle as a pew full of whoopee cushions going off after communion, and about as tasteful too. This is just his drugged out druggist character he played on the ill-fated Fridays show, stretch out to feature length. And if you didn't like him there, why are you reading this review? Then when it goes for dunderheaded jokes that would get you thrown off every improv stage in the Western Hemisphere and replaced gags with gross outs, things can only get worse. Aside from a few, very few gags that give a slight grin, this whole film is an exercise in waste. Wasted actors, wasted film, wasted opportunities. No wonder they showed original author Stevenson. He actually spaced that. Stevenson.
Stevenson.
Turning in his grave. What like more Joe observant Bill? A review could they give themselves?
Stella Stevenson. Andrew Stevenson.
No stars. No, not even for Armstrong, who should have known better. Hide from this one.
Oh, I
hello,
see
internet. I'm
like
60
that
years
little
old.
Jab, ah. His little literary jab. That had the boys in the clinic rolling.
Oh, Lord.
You've never seen this show called Friday, so I'm going to learn you all about it to complain about it.
Yeah, but it had Michael Richardson. I don't know. I get it mixed up all the time. But he's the one who played Kramer in Seinfeld.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that
the also
guy?
Offensive comedian?
He had a bit of a whoopsie doodle.
I really
liked
Evergreen alum. I liked Dave Chappelle's take on that when he was at the same comedy club. He's like, you know, every time I see this logo, I think of Kramer fucking up.
Yeah. Love that Chappelle.
Last thing I'm going to say about the cast members is that Michael McGuire, who played the Diddy, and I think you briefly mentioned him. He was in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you'll recognize him. He gets around. Yeah,
and including 20 episodes of Dark Shadows, the original Judah Zachary.
Willie. Willie boy.
He was in a couple episodes of my favorite story arc in Golden Girls. And I remember rewatching it going, so happy about that. And he's just been, God, he's been in so fucking much, you guys. Like, Major Dad, Empty Nest. And he was in The West Wing, but it was only like, I think one episode. But that was
Donnie,
another
are you cold out
moment
there?
Where I was like, but yeah.
Okay.
A lot of stuff. So
lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Yeah. So do you guys feel like you're ready to play doctor like Dr. Jekyll?
More than meets the eye.
I'll go first. I want a sequel showing us what their lives were like after. I want to see like the everyday sort of thing. I want like a documentary style one where like it's something
you just
want
to see them fucking. You want to see that three-way fucking right there.
I
want to
see them titties.
I want to see something kind of like in the same vein as Sister Wives.
Bob and Carol Ted and Alice.
Something on the Learning Channel or some shit.
I thought you were going to say Sister Act.
Back in the habit. I want to see Mary and Ivy sharing Jekyll and Hyde. I want to see Dr. Jekyll basically retiring from surgery to focus on research, but also he pulls his money and Mary's money that she inherits from her dad dying and decides to retire by getting a Chrysler dealership. So Hyde gets
to be a stressful job.
Hyde gets to be the Chrysler dealer. And I want to see Dr. Newt's gay misadventures and him finding himself. And I want to see him fucking. And I
it's a documentary, guys.
I don't care how old he is right now. I want to see Tim Thomerson nudie. I mean, I want what I want. The heart wants what the heart wants. You can't help it. I also want to see the fate Sagan of Mary's Ball. Father, which I'm assuming that he died in that surgery.
No, the roles are reversed. Now he needs a total transplant.
Because they give him all of, what was his character's name? Hubert Humphrey's failing organs.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hubert Howes.
Hubert Howes. That's it. Thank you.
They had to go somewhere.
Yeah. What about you, Don Don?
I just would like to state, I didn't even watch this movie because I have seen it so many goddamn times growing up that I got excited and had to tell the family when I saw it on Blu-ray. On fucking Blu-ray.
I remember when we first, like, a little after we first moved to Port Orchard, there was the video store was going out of business, go figure. Mm-hmm. And they had the VHS of it. And
I actually
was that the one that
have,
you showed me?
I actually have, and I should pull it out for this, or we'll put it up a screenshot. I have an unopened VHS of that movie. I just loved it that fucking much. But no, this was like recent. I got this like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. But my script doctor is a TV series because weekly fun is always best. And yes, Mary inherited her father's money. But she made the mistake of letting Daniel take over it, and that means letting Jekyll take over it. So, yeah, Hyde and Daniel decide to do something wonderful with that money. Dr. Daniel Jekyll decides to open a brothel and underground abortion clinic in the Lower East Side of Detroit. where he works during the day helping ladies with their unwanted problems, and in the evening, Jekyll helps to give them what will later become their unwanted problems. He's his own best and worst customer. Tune in weekly for Jekyll and Hyde's Reload and Unload Brothel of Laughs, directed by David Kirshner.
You could have a theme song sung by Mr. Hyde called Bun in the Oven.
Yes.
He also helps women remove foreign objects
nightly
from their VAGINAs.
It's kind of like Batman, where the foreign object is always going to be some celebrity that just pops up at random moments. But it'll be kind of like Sven Gulli, where they're only there for like a skit and that's it.
This is some building. I mean, Sammy Davis Jr. lives here.
Oh, yes.
Well, and hello, so Cape Crusader and Boy Wonder.
Yes, and so did the Green Hornet.
Oh. Well, hello, Nicolas Cage.
Those were the days.
Adrian, what do you have?
Netflix presents a bingeable production. We see a sickly young boy in his bed in Scotland, and his nurse come by and he tells his nurse these stories. And the young boy, of course, is an age regressed Eddie Redmayne. And he tells her a spoopy tale about a scary old man, scary balding old man. People fear him, and he is powerful, and he's Bruce Dern.
Oh, shit.
And he needs to be taken apart piece by piece, and he needs to be rebuilt piece by piece. And intercut with this frightening old man terrifying all around him, we see a dark bedroom with two whispering people talking about in hushed English accents how they cannot satisfy one another because he just can't 19th century style get it up. And only at the end of the first 6 hours of this long ass fucking season with like no lighting and nothing happening, do we learn that his name is Jekyll.
He can't get it off. Spoofy.
Netflix presents The Demolished Man, a tale of the good old times.
I mean, we are recording this the day before Halloween.
Ooh. It's spoopy season. Adrian's got the shakes. Never mind that.
I did just have my sugar-free energy beverage. I'm trying to lose a few.
We had to dress up. Well, we didn't have to, but we could dress up yesterday at my work for Halloween. So I wore my, what I lovingly call my slanket that our friend Kristen got for me.
So you're in a cult.
It's this like huge like sweater with this awesome like pocket that's big enough to hold cats, and it's got a hoodie. So I told
Does it
everybody
have cats swinging around at the front of your thing.
I told everybody that I was either Christian Slater in Name of the Rose or I was Marlon Brando in his final winter.
Oh. Well, acting's no big deal.
Mm. Should have had a bucket of ice on my head. Or a bowl. Oh, buddy. So, yeah, I'll feel like we covered this.
I hope so. Like,
it's obscure as fuck. Hipsters, go watch it.
There's still a lot we didn't even talk about, but it's just like so many jokes in the movie.
Yeah,
that
it's
to be there to watch.
It is that Zucker Abrams Zucker style. It's the machine gun. It's like there's a lot of shit crammed in there, and you might miss it the first time. So watch it again.
We liked it before it was cool.
We did. We were like, I was like 2 years old when this came out, and we started watching it growing up. So
this is an oldie, but we were all alive for it. I was like 3 months old, but yeah.
Yeah, your kids are going to love it.
Yeah, sure, your fucking kids. Don't contextualize any of it.
It's an oldie where I'm from.
I would like to also, while we're at it, propose a toast to our mom and dad who did not put any filters on what we watched.
Bless their
hearts.
For the
better or worse, who knows?
I bless their names.
No taking it back now.
Oh, yeah.
God,
oh,
I don't know what that
damage is done.
It's kind of like piss and tea, but.
Is that your pee bucket or?
No, it's a cup that was behind the dumpster. And that's why I'm trying to figure out if it's mostly pee or if it's just enough tea that it makes up for the pee.
Well, don't, if it's got like shit growing in it, don't throw that part away. That shit's kombucha right there.
Well, yeah, it's organic. That's why I'm drinking it. I want to lose a few pounds too, like you.
Yeah. Just get yourself a Bronx parasite. Yeah.
Yeah. Bronx parasite diet. The chicken skin diet's really paying off.
I won, Frylock. I won.
Do you think we can like offer that on our Patreon?
Yes, I will sell it. We'll do that on eBay. We'll eBay this cup for a starting bid of $10,000.
Oh, I was saying, like, we could get a Bronx parasite.
Oh,
yours what? For only $13.90, four installments of $13.95.
With a $40 shipping.
Give me some more of that funnel cake.
Yeah. This ain't kid stuff, people. We're adults.
Exclusion supply.
Right. We're very mature around here.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. That
so I guess now's the time. I say please now. Listen, rate, and review Videorama on whatever platform you're listening to, especially over on Apple Podcasts. Even if you're not listening to us on Apple Podcasts, it really helps because it's some bullshittery with the algorithm, that helps people find us because your reviews will help boost us to the top. It will support
us
like a bra.
Just write a comment or something, even if you don't mean it.
You can even say, like, these dishwasher clowns don't know how sex works. And I'm afraid for Eckhart's
safety. Yeah, write that. Yeah.
Fucking loved it. 5 out of 5. Would recommend.
He called her a very bad name, and he said, I hate her. I wish she were dead.
But it really does help us. And if you do, I will give you a shout out on air and we will do a little ritual in your honor after hours when we're about ready to close up.
Yeah. If we get 50, then maybe we actually will fulfill our promise of returning to reviewing the newest Cage films. But we have to have 50 reviews.
Shh, don't call it a promise. Our lawyers say we aren't supposed
to say
that it was a promise.
I will never die.
That's a Cameron Pro promise.
Yes, Spitz it is. But while you're at it, also check out our stuff on YouTube and check out our stuff on Patreon at patreon.com/videoramapod. And if you become a patron, there's a bunch of nifty stuff on there that you can get, including buttons, stickers, bonus episodes, which we actually just created a spoopy one. It's not that spoopy, but it's a helpful one.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's certainly a thing. You can also at one point, you can get an awesome Adrian doodle. Adrian's artwork is fucking rad. So
I draw artwork.
It's awesome. But also you can, at a certain level, you can even recommend a theme, a movie, or you could show up as a guest. Come on and do it, man.
Yeah. Make us watch a thing.
But even just for, you know, a couple dollars a month, it helps us immensely because it feeds Donnie. I mean, look at him. He's supposed to be taking out our trash. He's not taking out our trash. That's fucking Arby's, you guys. So please. Yeah.
They should never have done that larger Reuben. It was a crime.
For just just dollars a month, you can help this poor Donnie.
Won't you help?
For heaven's sake, let the boy sleep in your bed.
Donnie, give all the ASPCA sad dog poses you can do. Start shaking.
In the arms of the angel, far away.
Poor Donnie can't even afford to eat. He has to go. Okay, so he chooses to go to the dumpster every evening.
The dumpster chose me.
Dumpster life with Donnie. I just thought of a new segment. But yeah, so remember, you can find Videorama on Twitter at VideoramaP. That's the letter P, not P-E. You can visit our website at videoramapod.com, or you can you could write to us at videoramapod@gmail.com. Also, you can visit our Twitter account at, I said that. Anyway,
Twitter.
If you check out our Twitter account, if you check out our Twitter account, you can vote on your favorite movie from the recommendations for last month, which was Killer Dolls, was it? I can't remember anymore.
Yes, it was.
Dolls.
I was thinking who won from when we did the Reality is the Nightmare.
Oh.
Was that
Man,
Chris?
For Killer Dolls, yes. I should have just done Valley of the Dolls.
God damn
God
your loose interpretations. No.
Damn it! No, just give me another doll!
That's a bad co-host. Brad. Just give me another doll!
I'll plant my own tree and I'll make it grow. Jesus.
We almost made it, folks.
But yeah,
Donnie,
you can take
where could the people find
the...
you?
In the poll and vote for your favorite. And yeah, you can be a part of history. Meanwhile, I'm checking furiously. Okay, who knows? But right now we have pinned. Yeah, it was Chris's choice. From Beyond, from 1986. Makes sense, right? Oh, yeah, that was for Reality is the Nightmare.
Yes.
Also check out my other podcast about witches in history and stories of all Midra. Bedknobs and Broomflicks, remember?
Bad witches and bad bitches.
Fuck right. Yeah. We're sewer sisters for life, son. that's Bedknobs and Broomflicks. Broomflicks spelled Broomflicks. You know we're great because we got the licks at the end. Yeah. Also, you could check me out and check out Donnie in the second episode of the second season of Four's a Crowd. I play Mrs. Halverson, and Donnie plays a couple characters in that.
Chadwick.
Yes. Chadwick and
Troy.
Yeah, Troy. Chadwick of Troy. And yes. Adrian, I should say also in Broomflicks, we just covered the worst witch with Tim Curry. The original one, the one where all witches are wet for Tim Curry, which is like obviously true to life.
That's just reality. Yeah.
So, Adrian.
Oh, you know me. I'm on the deviantart.com with my stories and my artworks and my pictures and my things. And by now, the Halloween issue of Dreadful Tales is up. So you should definitely check that out. Dreadful Tales has been going strong for 6 years now. That's our 35th Ooh. Issue. We've got a new author in there, too. You should definitely pop by and look at that. I'm on DeviantArt again as Leo the Fox. You probably knew that already if you listened to any two of these.
You got me born.
Yeah, well, sort of. Yeah,
Oh my. I
draw a lot of dudes without any clothes on.
It's true.
What do they need those for anyway?
You could check out his cage art on our website at the old website, cageskiss.com, which will take you to all of our podcasts, the Videorama, Cage's Kiss, obviously, and Broomflix. And you can also check out Donnie's reviews there. And speaking of Don Waldio, what you got going on, Donnie?
It has been a month. I'm wrapping up the reviews for this month of Halloween, which have all been video store oddities and hard to find fun films. We're now down to the final two, and it's going to be fun. I also am on the Twitter under the Unreal Goals, which you can also find me on YouTube, because as of in a couple hours, I will finally be releasing the goddamn project I've been working on for 3.5 fucking weeks of a part of an anthology series we're doing as an audio play, which features the voice work of Mr. Josh Williams of Well Dadgum Pod, yay, who's also on Four's a Crowd, and another friend of our show who's been a longtime contributor, Mr. The Vern of Cinema Recall. So we got that finally coming out my butt.
He's also the editor. And
as you can see behind me, the dumpsters of Arby's is where you can find me. So if you find a cup with some stuff that's questionable, it could be piss, it could be tea, but all I know is it's what's for Donnie. So yeah, that's all I got going on for me.
Donnie party. God damn it.
Oh, they got the
meat. It's
going
to be a TP party tonight.
God, son of a bitch. Next week, Adrian will be sharing his recommendation.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And
Michael Eisner shot a kid.
Michael Eisner, probably. I mean,
was the kid a fat?
God, Donnie, stop. You're going to get us canceled. Also, our attorneys want me to say that we do not believe that Michael Eisner actually shot a kid.
They also do not condone my behavior.
My attorney looks like Father Time. He has a giant pocket watch and a long flowing white beard, and he's waving for me to follow him over the sand dune. So I think I'm going to do that now.
We do not condone drinking anything you find in or near dumpsters. Yeah. But also, Death to Videorama, Long Live the New Flesh. Shall we hear the awesome song?
Yes.
So beautiful.